I'm sure lots of you have gone to conferences or meetings. And you know, there's that time when the presenter says, "Are there any questions?" And there's a burning question in your heart. And you think, "Yes, I'm going to ask this question." But it means that you have to stand up. It means you have to walk over to a microphone, and then you pose your question. And you sit there and you think, of all the horrible things that could happen to you on your way to asking that question, you think, I could trip over the chair. I could get to the mic and it not be on. The presenter might think my question is too simple, or I may stumble over the question. And so what do? You sit still. You don't do anything. You never get to ask your question. And then all the way home, you stew about it. You think, why didn't I ask that question? Why didn't I ask that question? You know, one of the things that Mary Lynn and I like to do is to go on vacations on cruise ships. And I always say to her, listen, absolutely nobody on this cruise ship. So let's go dancing. Because in 7 days, we're never going to see these 5,000 people again. So that's how we get up and dance. So you have to break out of that mold, isn't it? So when you're talking about getting up and going asking your question, you don't, you stew about it, you get home and you think, oh, what's the use? And then, thank goodness or thank God that we have Peter. Peter always asks the question. He is never afraid of speaking out. And what's today's question? How many times should I forgive somebody? And he answers his own question, doesn't he? He says 7 times, right, Jesus? 7 times. Well, how did we get the number 7? How did Peter get the number 7? Well, he used the old potato formula. And you're looking at me like, the potato formula? Really, John? The potato formula? Yeah, the potato formula. That's the formula where you take the number of guests you have, times it by 2, and add 1. So that you have, if you have 3 people coming over, that's 6 potatoes and 1 for good measure, 7 potatoes. It's true, it works. Anyway, that's another whole. The thing is, the rule was back then, for the Jewish community, that you forgave somebody 3 times, but not 4 times. So Peter was thinking, this is great. I'll take the 3, times it by 2 is 6, and add 1 for good measure, and I'm sure Jesus is going to be happy with my answer. And what does Jesus do? He turns it right upside down for Peter. He says, no, 7 isn't even remotely enough times. Not even remotely. Maybe if you start talking 77 times, we might be getting closer to the truth. And then he adds that wonderful parable, doesn't he? Where we have the king settling accounts. He calls together his servants, and one by one they must account for the things that they have borrowed or the things that they've received. And then this one guy comes forward, and he owes 10,000 bags of gold. A ridiculous amount. There's absolutely no way that he could ever pay that back. And so the king says, fine, can't pay it back. I'm going to sell you, your family, and all your possessions to offset the debt that you owe me. The servant gets down on his knees and says, listen, give me time. Give me time, and I'll pay you back full. And what does the king do? He not only says, yes, I'll give you the time, he forgives him the debt completely. So you can imagine that fellow leaving the palace, thinking, I'm free of this huge debt. He must have had a tremendous spring in his step, as they say, because he was free of that huge, huge debt. And then he goes outside, runs across a friend that owes him 10 or 100 pieces of silver, not even gold, silver. And the same thing happens. The fellow says, listen, give me time. But he doesn't. But the unique thing here is that other servants see this whole thing playing out. And they go back to the king and they say, king, do Do you realize you were so gracious? You were so forgiving to the servant. And look what he did. He turned around and didn't even forgive his friend. And so the king calls him in and says, right, enough is enough. I gave you this tremendous mercy, this tremendous gift of forgiveness, and you took it for granted. And so off he goes. The servant goes. So what are we to gather from all of this? Well, if we look at the king is God. And what has God done for you and I? He has forgiven us our debt, our sins, once and for all completely. That huge, huge debt that we owed was paid by Jesus on the cross, once and for all. And then what we're called to do? We're called to do the same here in our own communities, to show that same forgiveness that God showed us, even though ours isn't even remotely similar to what we had to pay. Our sins are different. But, you know, it's easy, isn't it, to have something happen to you and simply chew on it and not forgive and just say, all right, right, you know, I'm not going to give in. It's very easy. It's hard to forgive. It doesn't come easy. And we see this in our Lord's Prayer. I mean, if I asked you, you could probably say, well, I've said the Lord's Prayer at least 5,000-6,000 times in my life. But we gloss over the words after a while, don't we? It just becomes part of us that we gloss over. And there's that one line, forgive us our sins as you have forgiven our sins. That one line in there. There's so much happening in there in that Lord's Prayer, but we gloss over it from time to time. We just sort of say it. So I'd ask this week, think about that. Think about in your lives just how God has forgiven each of us our sins and that we're called to go out into the community and do the same. Not once, not twice, but infinite number of times. And why? So that God's presence can be seen here on earth. So that God's light can be seen. That's what we're called to do. So think about that this week. Think about the Lord's Prayer and that one line, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Amen.